He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the Wednesday, December 20th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And I'm thinking that maybe the market getting FedExed a little bit here today. And I got to believe that the traffic to the Hamptons and other Christmas locations is probably picking up about now, Wednesday. Airports getting crowded. This is a pretty quiet day on the market so far. But the Dow is down 45. I can't remember the last down day we had, but it is down 45 right now to 37,513 after the Dow hit another new all-time high yesterday. The NASDAQ is up a little bit. It's up a quarter of a percent, 15,039. It's about 1,000 points away from its all-time high. And, of course, it dominated here in 2023. The S&P is up 99 cents only to 4,770 as it closes in. I think it's 38 points or something like that away from its all-time high. The Russell 2000 small caps are down a quarter of a percent. Crude oil getting hootied again by the Houthi rebels. It's up $1.06 to $75 per barrel. Gold is down $1.40. The 10-year down 3 basis points to 3.89%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show on this Wednesday, 12/20. How many shopping days left before Christmas? Four days. We're getting down to it, and I got to believe, Barry, I'm seeing some pretty quiet action here so far.
Finally, huh?
They're headed to the Hamptons. They got their new high again in the Dow yesterday. The presents are all bought under the tree, you know, and it's going to be pretty quiet, I think, the next few days on this last full week of trading for the year. But there was some pretty big news. I think FedEx is pretty much a bellwether for the market and the economy. Although FedEx has a lot more competition these days. Amazon is now the number one
shipper, right?
That's right. Amazon. It's not UPS. It's not FedEx. It is now Amazon who, you know, from a standing start, I don't know how many years ago they began shipping their own packages, but now they've become the biggest shipper in the world. So we've got kind of a quiet day going on here in the market. I can't remember the last down day we've had.
I can say from shipping wise, I can say that we practice diversification in terms of what packages show up on our doorstep.
Yeah.
I think they had USPS deliver one yesterday, UPS delivered one, and FedEx delivered one, and then of course Amazon. You know, they're usually, you know, we're on a first name basis.
I'm on a first name basis with all of them. I swear, you know, I've always got something sitting in front of my door.
The biggest poundage yesterday was from FedEx. I will say that. So even
it saves a lot of trips. I remember all the trips. I used to reserve Saturday to make all my runs, my errands, to the toy store, to the hardware store. You know, not anymore. Well, the Dow was up 252 yesterday. It hit a new all-time high, 37,558. That's the magic number that we hit on 12/19/23. The S&P was up 28 yesterday. The all-time high is 48.88 is what I show. So that's about a little less than 50 points away here from an all-time high. The NASDAQ was up 100 yesterday. So we're about 1,000 points away from a new all-time high in the NASDAQ. The Houthi rebels.
15,000, right? Above
15,000. Yeah, it's above 15,000. I can't remember the last time I said that. And, of course, the Houthi rebels disrupting the Red Sea were about 10 to 12% of all the world's commerce passes through. A lot of oil passes through there. Not BP oil, though. They're not going to send any ships until those pirates are captured. Gold kind of sitting steady. The interest rates, just a phenomenal drop. What can I say? This straight-up move that the market has made over the last 6 or 7 weeks has basically coincided with the drop in interest rates. Those two have had married at the hip has been relationship that they have had here this year as we hit an all-time high. Now, my observations yesterday, I looked at a lot of charts yesterday. I was a little buggy by the end of the day. I noticed that it's still low PE stocks where the money flow is going. I'm not seeing a big outflow out of the growth stocks that dominated the market. They're quiet, however. Kind of hard to buy them at this level here after they've gone up so much this year. Those mega caps up almost 50% in 2023. I gotta believe there's going to be some rebalancing at the beginning of next year. We'll see, but the direction I am seeing, the which way does the river flow right now, seems to be flowing from high PE to lower PE, and from the largest companies in the world, otherwise known as the mega caps, trickling on down the line more towards the large, mid, and small caps. I would say the biggest jump I'm seeing is small cap value.
Yeah, and
cap value.
Yeah, and you hit it yesterday where, you know, if you, you know, you've also had, you know, things moving from cash to value. You kind of hit the nail on the head a couple of days ago where it was, you know, where, you know, do you go from, you know, cash to, you know, the high PE stuff, or do you go from cash to, you know, value names,
it's
right?
And very hard. Yep.
Would move, you know, the natural function, right, would be move from cash to something low PE.
But yes, it's very hard to justify a lot of these big winning stocks here as far as putting new money into them. We have a tricky geopolitical landscape. We might get another hostage release taking place here soon in Israel. That would be nice. That northern border, that's going to give at some point in time. I think when they're done with Hamas, they're going to go after Hezbollah to the north there. And, of course, you've got the Houthi rebels. You've got Russia making noise.
100 ships rerouted and counting from, from the Red Sea to other routes. And
yes,
the insurance on those, saw somewhere where the insurance on those ships went from, you know, basically 100,000 now 500,000. I think it's what the amount of goods on there. I think it's either 100 million, something of that nature, where it used to be 1%, and now it's, you know, basically 5% for the insurance there.
Yes, and I do see, I think geopolitical concerns are going to only ramp up during 2024. Trump's off the ballot in Colorado for now till the Supreme Court weighs in. So there's plenty of action, plenty of news stories to follow, and it's an interesting world that we live in right now.
Meanwhile, the VIX is very, very low.
The VIX is at an all-time low. There's hardly any it should be a little more volatile than it is. To me, we're in a very overbought situation from a technical point of view. We're in the upper strata. I think we're over 20 now on the forward PE of the S&P 500 when it probably belongs in the 17 to 18 range. So we're not exactly in a great risk-to-reward area unless you're looking at areas of the market that have been left behind. Hence, logic would say that's where new money seems to be flowing are areas of the market that have been left behind.
And a 99% probability of some, you know, of Fed funds rate being lower than it is right now in May. So that's
yeah,
a pretty interesting number. I looked at it this morning, and there's basically a 1.3% of those are choosing that will be at the same, you know, rate that we are right now. Everything else is either 25 basis points or 50 basis points, or even I see 8.6% people think will be between 4.5 and 4.75 in May. That's a little it seems a little optimistic and or pessimistic, because what would have to happen to the economy to drop essentially 75 basis points by May?
But it should be an okay year for the bond market. We have people that demand safer, that don't have a lot of appetite for risk. We have our individual bond fund, which has done very well since inception.
And TLT might even be a way to play that for folks who are, for that long duration.
Yes, exactly. That's the opposite of TBT, which was inverse the bond market.
Yeah.
TLT is long. I might even be juiced 2-1, the bond market. Okay, when we come back, there's news in the oil patch. We have our trade deficit to report. We've got news out of China, inflation out of the UK. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the government's got 73 million acres for sale, Barry, that they'll be auctioning off. The only problem is they're on the outer continental shelf. So they're underwater a little bit. Also, 6 million acres that the Department of Interior sought to withdraw because of the Rice's Whale, which nobody has seen one in years. But
that's in the Gulf, right? Isn't that the one?
Yeah, that's the one in the Gulf. Right. Well, they're going to lease.
Loch Ness is out there too, right?
That's right. 5 more years until you can lease this land. It's for oil drilling out there on the outer continental shelf. So
are we going to need oil in 5 years? I thought they...
Well, according to Justin Trudeau, we'll all be using wind and solar by then. We'll see. The account deficit narrows a little bit. That's our trade deficit. Japan's trade deficit narrows, but here was the key line from their report: weak demand from China. So add that to the worry list. So far we've got valuation on the market is definitely a worry at this level. Number one. Number two, geopolitics is definitely a worry. It always is a worry, but it seems a little hotter now than it has been in quite some time. And let's not forget China's economy. That's a big worry, because if China goes into a deep recession, that would drag down the whole global economy. So we'll be watching that very closely here. Another reason people would be moving to lower P.E. stocks, because, Barry, there's a perception, obviously, that they're lower risk. And I got to believe that, with all that's coming up, maybe we're seeing investors taking a little bit of risk off the table, by lowering the P.E. ratio of their portfolios, getting out of the high flyers and targeting some of the more low flyers, stability types of stocks. That would make sense also. UK inflation, 3.9. Now, that's still the hottest inflation, really, that I can find out there, 3.9, which is a lot cooler. But UK has been the slowest one to really get their inflation numbers down.
Yeah, they've got they've had the biggest issues, right? Because they still hadn't worked all through the Brexit, right? And they, from a power standpoint, in terms of power bills, they have a the way their power bills are generated, right? It tends to flow through those costs tend to flow through to their customers, easier than rates here in the U.S. So they had some kind of structural issues, but really came down surprisingly quickly from where they were. I mean, we were talking about at the beginning of the year. Remember, they were in double digit
inflation.
Right.
Google fined $50 million by Russian court for not deleting fake content about the Ukraine war. Now, who decides what's fake content? You think Google's going to write the check? I don't know. But they want a $50 million check. I wonder what Russia will do with the money.
Does Google still operate there? I mean, I don't think so.
You
know, I don't think McDonald's does. So I didn't know if they would even have any say into. I guess they can put any lawsuit they want against them. But I didn't know that they had any presence necessarily.
Yes,
in
I don't think
area.
So. But anyways, there's a $50 million fine floating around. Now the trick is collecting it, I suppose.
I'm sure that's in the couch. Probably in the couches at at Google. Google headquarters.
Yeah.
$50 million, right?
Loose change. TikTok owner ByteDance sees sales cross $110 billion to surpass Tencent. What a phenomenon TikTok is. That is not a publicly traded company. ByteDance is a private company. That's the parent of TikTok. That's some significant $110 billion in revenue. That's some pretty significant. Let's just compare that with like Snap, okay?
Snapchat. That's a lot of dances.
Snapchat's annual revenue is nowhere near that, right? Snapchat's
right.
$5 billion.
Yeah,
20 times.
And theirs has dropped off pretty significantly, too.
Well, I don't know if they'll ever go public, but I'm afraid that a lot of our teenagers and youth are getting their news and their education from TikTok. And they all want to be, what, TikTok influencers, right? Is that the new thing?
Yeah.
To be an influencer?
Probably one of the more popular growing jobs or aspirations in the last 2 years, I would imagine.
Yeah. You know, I thought about just becoming a TikTok influencer on the side, but you know what? I like what I do here. UK Supreme Court rejects appeal to grant patents on inventions from AI. Okay, so this is a landmark, okay? This guy used AI to come up with two inventions. He took the inventions to the patent office in the UK and said, I want patents on these things. And he said they were invented. No, the court rules know that a patent can only be given. An inventor must be a natural person.
Interesting.
Not AI. So anyways, that opens up a whole new can of worms, doesn't it? Inventions created by AI. Macy's continues to gain altitude, buyout rumors, independent stock. Now, I've always said that's not the greatest of reasons to buy a stock because of buyout rumors. But, you know, hey, a lot of people do play that game. And, if Macy's does get bought out for a higher price, then you got to wait it out to see if the trust regulators will nix it, or if the shareholders will nix it. But that's one of the reasons I was looking at the leading sectors in the market, and consumer discretionary is one of the leaders right now. But then you have to always weigh into that equation. It's a couple of stocks that have done that, and Macy's has had a big influence on the whole ETF, the whole consumer discretionary ETF, because of the buyout rumors swirling around Macy's. Microsoft is Wells Fargo's top software pick. Well, you know, I'm so proud of Wells Fargo coming up with a undercover idea. That took a lot of work. I shouldn't be so snide. But Microsoft, I mean, can't you find something a little bit more
Less covered
underneath the surface.
Yeah, a little less covered than the, probably one of the most covered names out there, right?
I'm going to consult the Best Stocks Now app and see what it has to say about Microsoft at this level. Okay, Microsoft has had a whale of a year. ChatGPT. I require 75 to 80% upside potential to put new money into a stock. Microsoft is currently 56 upside potential, 56%. It's a hold. But for Wells Fargo, it's their top pick in the software sector. A bold prediction from Wells Fargo. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where you've got a quiet day going on in the market as we get really close here to the big holiday weekend. But you do have, the NASDAQ driving forward, trying to get to its all-time high of just over 16,000, while the Dow hit its all-time high on Tuesday. And has been hitting new highs pretty much since the Fed pivot that everybody's been waiting for so long. The Fed pivot, a major event in the markets, which denotes a change in the wind of the Fed from hiking interest rates to now all of a sudden looking at some point in the future to lower interest rates as the inflation monster has gone back in his hole and hopefully won't come out again for quite some time. So anyways, that's where the market is at today. A lot going on in the world these days. I stay on top of world news, current events. That's also critical.
See the interesting comment about, I guess apparently during, in China's president, in terms of the meeting with Biden, I guess, mentioned that at some point Taiwan will be part of China. He just doesn't know when the timing is.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody knows that because it's in their
it is, yeah.
Exactly. And Elon Musk said the same thing when he was asked. He says, well, it's just a matter of time.
It's in their equivalent, it's in their version of, I mean, I guess it's, we would consider it the equivalent of their constitution. It's in their, it's literally written in their quote unquote
their bylaws. Their policy, right? And, so that's a big, risk to the semiconductor industry. Of course, if you would have gotten out of the semiconductors at the beginning of this year because you were worried about China invading Taiwan, you would have missed out on the biggest winning sector in the market this year. So, but owning Taiwan Semiconductor, obviously there's extra risks, geopolitical risks there. There's a couple other foundries in Taiwan. And I also find it interesting that Taiwan Semi has been diversifying themselves, like they know it's coming. They've got, obviously, a big plant in Phoenix. And I think Japan is the other place where they're building foundries. They better get those things built pretty quickly, it would seem. So, that would not help another hot spot in the world because that would be a big one. Here's the issue there. We are an ally with Taiwan, just like, if a NATO country were to be attacked by Russia, which could also happen in 2024. In fact, Turkey is a NATO ally right now at the current time. But let's just say Poland was invaded or whatever. We're obligated to defend a NATO ally. And, we have said now, Biden says he will, but we've been attacked like 90 times in Syria so far, and we haven't done one thing. In retaliation. So it remains to be seen. I mean, they basically say we will defend Taiwan, but you're going face to face with China when you defend Taiwan. So anyways, that's something else just to keep in the back of your mind, to keep you up at night with your left eye twitching, thinking about the market. Anyways, Howmet is a top aerospace. Now here's a good pick from Morgan Stanley of all people. Howmet, I like Howmet. Howmet is an aerospace stock. This has been a great small cap stock. This is a mistake I made. I sold it in August of this year. Well, you know, in the $50 area, it's at 53. I haven't missed out on much. But this has been a solid, they do a lot for Boeing. It's been a steady grower over the years. They provide engineered metal products for aerospace, transportation. I don't know if they're in the weapons business at all, but it's been a very good small cap stock. And I think you could probably put this in the small cap value camp. So anyways, there's one to check out. FedEx falls seven. I think it's down even more than that. FedEx right now, which is a barometer for the economy, it's down 10.5% right now. Well, you know what? It's a much more competitive landscape out there for moving goods. I don't know that it indicates a slowdown in the economy. I'm not seeing the slowdown.
They may just be losing market share, I mean, to a certain extent.
It could be. But they are warning on their next year's revenues. This is probably the first company, there's been just a handful that have warned about next year, 2024, which begins in 11, 12 days. You know, the Memphis-based shipping giant said their revenue fell 2.6% year over year. So anyways, and that's probably got the market on its back foot here today, this news from FedEx. General Mills, they also reported, I don't know, are kids still eating cereal and yogurt?
Yeah. Apparently not, because they certainly had a slowdown as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I see most kids with Monster Energy drinks in the morning. I don't know if that's good for you or not, but General Mills, yogurt.
That'll wake you up in the morning, right?
I don't see a teenager eating yogurt on his way to school these days. But anyways, General Mills is down 3% today. That's a bit of a bellwether stock, I guess. A couple other earnings trickling in here is earnings season basically over. We're looking ahead now to a new earnings season, the next earnings season. As of now, when the bell rings on December 31st and the fireworks go off in Times Square, we begin a new year. We start the clock. You know, everything resets to zero. You know, you're going to say, well, Tesla stock is up 0% year to date, right?
And that's where that rolling 12-month comes into play, right?
Yeah, I have to move everything forward in the app. You know, year to date is no longer year to date. It's a final number. We start a new year to date. But earnings season resets. We're looking right now, if you go back to the same quarter in 2022, the last quarter of 2022, that's what we'll be up against here. Come back in the middle of January. We're looking right now for 2.4%. 2.4% growth in earnings in that quarter. That's where we're beginning. Obviously, if we don't meet that number, if we fall way short of it, that's not going to be good, because you'll start lowering the estimates for 2024. I'm sure FedEx is in the S&P 500, so you've already got one member of the S&P 500. That'll barely put a dent in it, one company guiding lower for 2024. But we'll hear from the other 499 come January, and that's the key. There is the key to the stock market going higher from here. Can we get to 40,000 on the Dow? Can we get to 5,000 on the S&P 500? Can we get to 17,000, 18,000 on the NASDAQ? It all depends on earnings.
Yeah, it's not just about interest rates, even though interest rates are important. You still have to have the other piece of the I could promise you, because if earnings go to zero, then interest rates would likely be at zero. It still doesn't help that valuation any.
No, and I see a favorable environment for interest rates this coming year. So that. The multiple should be pretty safe. I think 20, where we're at now, is too high. I think we're going to see some corrections here, maybe after the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that the multiple is going to be the factor that it was this year.
Right.
Earnings remained the same this year. It was the multiple that impacted the market. Next year, I see the multiple hanging steady. But the earnings, it's going to be all about earnings. I update those earnings every week in my newsletter. That's the most important page of the entire newsletter, the macro outlook, because it has the earnings forecast for this year and next year on one index, the S&P 500, because that's the index that everybody looks to. There's a consensus estimate for earnings. And then there's people that are all over the place. I mostly do my own every week. I'm usually pretty close to the consensus. Then the multiple, that's going to be the key to watch going forward. Earnings, earnings, earnings. Get the newsletter, 2 free weeks, at GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Barry, I'm going to call Google Alphabet the stock of the day. And I don't know if there's news. I didn't see any news when I was preparing the show, but Google's having a very, very good day. And I was just looking at our holdings. It's number 16 on our holdings here at Gunderson Capital Management. That's our 16th biggest holding. Google is breaking out. It's on the verge of a breakout here for a 52-week breakout. Its all-time high is 150. It's at 141 right now. And I thought we'd take a little bit of a dive, see what the BestStocksNowApp.com says about Google. It's obviously the performance side of the equation has been good this year. Google is up, let's see here, year to date, Google is up 55%, which has thumped the S&P 500, okay. Google has got a performance grade right now of B+ overall. Its momentum grade right now is not that great. It's pretty neutral right now, but there's some kind of a catalyst taking place. When a stock breaks out through resistance, which it's had, it's been going sideways since September for several months here. And now all of a sudden it's threatening to break out. So the next thing we look to here is valuation. It's not the cheapest stock around, that's for sure. But then again, you know, the P.E. ratio compared to other mega cap.
I was going
to
say forward, it's not
24.
Yeah, more palatable than some of the other ones when you look at it. Right?
Yes. Okay, now, we're the biggest, the hardest part to cipher for me in Google is what kind of a growth rate are they going to have over the next 5 years? And that's kind of all over the place, because if you look at their last 4 quarters, their growth has been all over the map. Minus 19, minus 11, and then the last 2 quarters have been good, 17, 42. So I'm just kind of picking what I think is kind of a good average number. I'm using 12% growth per year, which would be comparable to Microsoft. And some others out there. Okay, and then you've got my forward P.E. ratio right now is actually 20. It's 20.3, all right? That's not bad. The PEG ratio then comes in with a forward PE of 20.3 and a growth rate of 12. That's my best guess. You get a 1.7 PEG ratio and a 5-year target price of 222. It's currently at 140. So you get about 60% upside potential. That's if they do a 12% growth rate. And that's a generous number I'm giving it. So the value grade is not all that good. It's at D-plus right now. Now, I have to see what this movement in it is today. Is it going to raise the growth rate?
Yeah, they got some restructuring. And basically, they announced that they're going to have some restructuring in their ad division, which is a big part, you know, big part of their revenues. Basically, they're telling 30,000 headcount there that they're going to do some restructuring in the space, which sometimes is word for we might cut some jobs. And so we'll see how that affects, because one thing about the tech space is they were kind of ahead of the game in terms of, some at least announcing layoffs. And so, could actually improve the bottom line in certain instances.
So. Yeah. So anyways, I think we own it. I don't have any intent on selling it. But unless there's, a catalyst that, and their big catalyst, I think, is that's hanging out there would be their own AI, which has been a little bit choppy. Gemini, right? Is it Gemini?
Right, yeah, and their services division. Of course, all these companies with a lot of capacity or in terms of their data warehousing, right, the quote-unquote the cloud, which is going to be needed for running AI models as well. So you've got Microsoft's a big player there, Amazon and Google, and Apple to a certain extent. But those first three are really the big players in terms of, having the ability, right, from a data warehousing standpoint to run these complex complex models.
Yes, and Google, really their cash cow is the search engine.
Right.
And selling ads, ad revenue. So that's pretty economic sensitive type stuff. So anyways, it would be a little hard, but the breakout is good. That's a good sign that the stock is breaking out. Let's see if it follows through or not. And just looking across the board here, again, I'm seeing the low PE. The biggest winner in the Dow is Caterpillar, which has a PE of 15. You see, it's not the 40s and the 50 PE ratios from some of the winners this year. The money is flowing towards lower PE here, at least at the end of the year. And I just got to believe. I think after the first of the year, you're no longer on the hook for a big capital gain until, way down the line.
At least another 12 months, right?
I think you're going to see some selling in some of these high PE stocks after the 31st. You can't buy them back. Well, you can buy them back, I suppose. It's a loss that you can't buy back. You got to wait 30 days, the wash rule. And I just think you're going to see money flowing towards lower PE. I think it's going to be a better year for value than growth. And I think that maybe the mid and small caps are going to outperform the large caps for a that hasn't happened in a long time.
In the first half of the year, right? You're exactly right. And not even just in January, but as you go through the first half of the year, you're going to get a lot of folks will end up in that long-term capital gain position, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of those tech names, right, were purchased, kind of earlier in the year, particularly from March on, because of the, because of this AI boom, right?
You just wonder how much can they eat? How much can the voracious appetite eat of these mega cap stocks? Because it's getting to be where it takes more and more and more to move them because they're so big. Anyways, that's the way I see it. We'll see how it plays out. I take it a day at a time, a stock at a time, a very methodical kind of guy. Get the newsletter, 2 free weeks, GundersonCapital.com. Gunderson, we called it right last December, GundersonCapital.com. To set up an appointment with us, that's even more important. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.